deacons get concerned about what scripture they read on a Sunday morning. And it's uncanny how well it seems to fit in when they read it. What Bob read this morning, I think, goes right along with what I'm going to try to say. It goes along in a lot of ways. I want to read from the Gospel of John. I'm going to start in chapter 8 with verse 31 and read several verses. To the Jews who had believed in him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." Knowing the truth is something that is important to Almighty God. He wants you to know what is true spiritually, and he wants you to know what is true in other realms of life. God doesn't lie to you. Sometimes people think he does, but he doesn't. "You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free?" Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." For every time you and I sin, we're slaves. We're not living in the freedom that Jesus gives to us. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Those words Jesus is telling them, he is the Son. Son of Almighty God. Not just the Son of Israel. "I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word." Indeed, they wanted him dead. And the more he talked, the more they wanted him dead. "I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your Father." "If you were Abraham's children," said Jesus, "then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does." Now he tells them who their father is. "Jesus said to them, 'If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now I'm here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies." When you and I lie, guess who our father is? "Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to to God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. When you look in the Bible, do you try to apply to your life what you read? Try to apply it to your everyday actions and thoughts? Or do you just quote the scripture in your mind and do something else? When I was a young adult, I heard President John F. Kennedy say these words: "My fellow Americans, ask not what your country will do for you, ask what you can do for your country." And for some reason, those words stuck in my soul. There are words from the scripture that stick in my soul, but those words from that president stuck in my soul. I believe that a person was to serve their country. And I believe that this country was worth serving. Same way that I believe people are to serve God who created them. And that Jesus Christ is his Savior and his Son and my Messiah. And he is worth believing and serving. Later on that year, I went off to Purdue University. I thought I was going to become an engineer like Pastor Mike was. I wanted to be an aeronautical engineer. And then I ran head on into something called calculus. And I got so far into calculus, and then I didn't understand a thing. And I still don't understand that. I could plug things into the equations and come out with an answer, but I had no clue if the answer was right or wrong. And when you don't know that your answer is wrong, something's wrong with your understanding, as well as when you don't know when it's right. So I changed and I went to study political science. I thought I would be a social studies teacher or maybe even a politician. You know, serve my country in one form or another like that. What I read to you this morning said, when you are a believer in Jesus Christ, he said, you shall know the truth. Truth about your sin. Truth about other things. And one truth that I learned very early was I wasn't going to be an engineer. And if I hadn't seen that, it would have been horrible. Another truth that I learned when I started my study in political science was I was told that politics is power, not service. Power. You look at today's politicians and you see where they're coming from. And for most of them, it is not service. Right there. That shook my world when I heard that. The idea that service to one's country and to one's God never entered the discussions. We're trillions of dollars in debt in our country, if you didn't know that. Let's see, do you know what caused the debt? It's a little three-letter word. War. War caused the debt. Unless things have changed drastically, we're still paying for World War II. Let alone everything else that has come down the pike. And other people still want to do the worldly thing and go out and start another war. Jesus said, you'll know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Pay attention to what Jesus says in the book. As a believer in Jesus Christ, you learn that being a Christian centers on service and not what the world tells you. It doesn't center on your power. It centers on being a servant, being a slave to the Lord who loves you. When you believe in Jesus Christ and you serve Him, He doesn't fill you with all kinds of desire to conquer and rule the world. In the history of mankind in the past, there are people who thought He did. But the truth is, He wasn't behind that. And a lot of the struggles in the world today center back to those generations. Those of you who are in the house of God and worship today, this morning, you do your job every day. And I would hesitate to say that any one of you go and do your job because you want power. Most of you do what you do because you're serving your family, providing for them. You're serving your God. Maybe you're serving the town you live in, or the state, or the country you live in. But the idea that you're doing what you're doing so that you can be more powerful, I don't think that crosses your mind. Why? Because you're following Christ. That's why. Jesus said, the truth shall make you free. Free from the penalty and the power of your sin? That's first. And once you're free in Christ, you're free to love and to serve God and your fellow man. You know, I didn't mind being a deacon at the Washington Baptist Church. That was fun. But when God called me to preach, He scared me to death. And if God calls you to preach, He's going to scare you too. So when He calls you, you tell Him you want to know this book. You want to be an educated preacher. And He'll take care of that too. And maybe some of you, someday God will call you to be a missionary someplace. Tell Him yes. You won't regret it. You won't ever regret His call. In Jesus Christ, you can be a servant. In Jesus Christ, you can be gracious. You can be gracious to those you love, and you can be gracious to those you really would like to hate. But God doesn't let you do it. Mr. Larry Sutherland. I asked Larry if I could ask him a question this morning, and he said yes. There was more risk to me than there is to him, because if he gives the wrong answer, I'm in trouble. Okay, here's the question. And it's a simple choose A or choose B answer. A. Is the United States of America a representative democracy? That's A. Or is it a theocracy? That's B.
The answer's A.
Yes, sir. Didn't teach all that social studies for nothing, did you? We are a representative democracy. You know what a theocracy is? In a theocracy, God is supposed to be recognized as the head of the state. Theocracy coming from the Greek word that means rule of God. What were the two countries or two areas that were theocracies? Anybody know? Israel is one. What's the other one? Judah. Israel and Judah over in the Promised Land, they were without question theocracies until they walked away from their God. God did rule them. Some of us might even say until they decided they had to have a king. Then they got in trouble. In a pure theocracy, whoever's in charge of the civil government is supposed to have a direct connection with God. God help you if you ever think the president of the United States or the governor of this state, or the mayor of the town, or whatever, has a direct connection to God. Because you'll be in trouble. You can have a direct connection to God through the Holy Spirit if you believe in Jesus Christ. But then for you to get things right, you have to listen. You have to know what God has said. But you be careful when people want to tell you that somebody has a direct way to God. I don't think anybody here was taught that you live in a theocracy. I think you were taught what Mr. Sutherland said and Larry said. Be careful when you take your eyes off of the God who gave you this book and you start looking other places. You'll be in trouble. Founding fathers knew they didn't want the Puritans or the Quakers or the Roman Catholics or even those Baptists down up in Maine to be in charge of the government. How many of you know about the Baptists in Maine? If you don't, you should. Because that's where you all came from, whether you believe it or not. That's even where the Southern Baptists came from earlier. Those who started this government knew what it was to be persecuted religiously. Have religious persecution aimed at them. Christians aren't supposed to persecute people. But if you look at history, we do. And God's not holding our hand when we're doing that. Separation of church and state is a good idea. I put some information in the bulletin, or at least I thought it was there. If it's not, I'll get it in there. I didn't look for it. That's weird. There's a book called The History Buff's Guide to the Presidents. And if you want to know some things about the President of the United States, get that little book. It's a fun read. It'll make you happy. It'll make you angry. It'll make you laugh, and it'll make you cry. Jesus said, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free or make you free." You move from the point where you know that Jesus is the Son of God, the sacrifice for your sin, and you claim Him as Lord and Savior for your life, and then truth begins to come into you in a way it wasn't there before. And if you've never accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that this morning. All you have to do is tell Him, Jesus, I'm a sinner. You died for my sin. Save me now. And He'll do that. Praise His name. So know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. What did I leave out?
Under God.
When was that added in? I was a kid when it was added in, so I know some of you were too. When was it added in? Under President Dwight D. Eisenhower. In fact, President Eisenhower gave one of the most, shall we say, Christian-oriented inauguration speeches that any man had ever gave. Surprising, isn't it? Never had done that before in any of his public service, but he did when he took the oath of office, and sometime after becoming president, the pledge was changed to where the words were added in. He changed that, had it changed, because he was scared to death. You ever been scared to death? You're scared to death of somebody you need to know, and that's Jesus of Nazareth. Otherwise, that fear is going to eat you up. President Eisenhower was scared to death that the Soviet Union was going to march out of Russia, and the Chinese were going to march out of China and conquer the world. And he and all the people of that time had just come out of World War II, and they didn't want World War III. So they began to pay more attention to Almighty God. Do you know when one nation, or when "In God We Trust" was put on your money? Civil War. Back in a time when the war was so violent and so deadly and so ungodly that at least 1,000 men a week were dying. If you don't believe they were dying to that number, you go down and look at those tombstones someday. They put "In God We Trust" because they had to trust in God. They had no other place to go. All they could see was more carnage and no end to the war. And so they turned to the God who gave them this book and gave it to you and to me. Jesus said, "He who is of God hears God's words." You are of God, you hear what God says. When you read the book, you hear it. And you understand it. Maybe a little at a time, but you understand what God is saying to you. And you understand it in more of a way than just to be able to memorize it. You understand it to apply it to your life and to the lives of others. Scribes and the Pharisees and the hypocrites should have known the Word of God. And maybe they could quote it front and back, but they didn't know what it meant. There was no grace in them. Just law. Just law. Verse 42. Jesus said to them, "If God were your Father, you would love me." You love Jesus? Or do you just take him and leave him? If you love him, then you know who God is. Your Father is the Father of Jesus Christ. That I have not come on my own, but he sent me. So don't be surprised when he sends you someplace. God does that. "Why is my language not clear to you?" He asks them, and then he answers his question. "Because you are unable to hear what I say." By that he means they didn't understand what he was saying. Heard the words. Could probably define the words to you. But they really didn't hear it in their soul. "You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires." The world always wants to carry out the devil's desires. Of the devil, Jesus said, he was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when I talk to you about lying, and you're lying, there's no truth in you. When I lie, there's no truth in me at that point. My son, God bless him, doesn't lie. Never caught him in a lie. If he is at the point of telling a lie, he just doesn't say anything. Maybe that's good advice for your life too. Just keep your mouth shut. That way you don't have to lie. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Were you at that point, at one time in your life? Reading the Word, Jesus was telling you the truth about yourself, and you didn't want to believe it. "Oh, I'm not that bad." Yeah, I am. Yeah, I am. "Can any of you prove me guilty of sin?" Jesus asked. "I'm telling you the truth. Why don't you believe me?" Couldn't prove him guilty of anything, but they wanted him dead. And one day, they had what they wanted. Pontius Pilate ordered him crucified on the cross. And he died there. And the Jewish religious leadership was so worried. They were worried that that man would come back to life like he said he would. Something they said, Jesus said, "You can't do that. That ain't going to happen." But they had a guard put on his tomb. And he rose from the dead. And the guards didn't stop him. Because he had fulfilled his father's command. He had come and witnessed to you and died for your sin. And then he rose again, as he promised. And one day he returned back to heaven, and he says, "I'm coming back." Now, I don't know when that is. Dwight David Eisenhower was raised a Jehovah Witness. His mother had watchtower meetings in their home. And in 1915, something did not happen that the Jehovah Witness said was going to happen. The world didn't end. And Dwight Eisenhower and his brothers left the Jehovah Witness and went to the Christ. When Dwight Eisenhower retired, he joined a little Presbyterian church. So the guys up in the Muppet box would say, he looks like a Presbyterian to me, because he was. And you know the little church that he joined at that time? In a place called Gettysburg. The last president who, or the earlier president who had visited there was Abraham Lincoln. After he gave his Gettysburg address. History gets interesting some days. Especially if you look in the Bible and look at the history that is in there. It's amazing how God has planned the future for you and for me as believers in Christ. So, I ask you, do you believe in Jesus Christ this morning? If you don't, I invite you to let him into your heart. Tell him you're a sinner in your prayer and I say, Jesus, save me now. And then believe him because he'll do it. Let us have a word of prayer and we'll sing our invitation. Heavenly Father, once again, thank you for the beauty of this day and the glory of your presence. And Lord, just reach out to each of us this morning. Help us as we live out our faith. Forgive us when we sin. Draw us ever closer to you. Lord, be with those people who we mentioned in prayer this morning, who the church is praying for. Answer those prayers with your loving spirit. Open our hearts this day, Lord. Open our minds to service. The service of the Christ, of our family and of our community, and of the church. Thank you, Father, and amen.